Today I want to talk to you about unbreakable people, an unbreakable people. And I'm going to give you the fivefold message about servanthood, being effective servants. We talked about being strong in our witness last week. I want to talk to you about being a servant this week. And I know that this church has so many servants that are willing to serve the needy and willing to serve your people, your brothers and sisters in Christ. So I know that this church is doing a great job at that, but I want to talk to you about that this morning. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning with verse 13. For this reason, we also thank God. Now, I want to stop right there. We've talked about an unbreakable witness. We've talked about an unbreakable spirit being authentic. We've talked about an unbreakable church. But it says, for this reason. Now, first of all, when talking about an unbreakable servant or an unbreakable person or an unbreakable people, a group of people that decides to do something big together, decides to connect with one another, decides to carry out God's purpose for their lives, when you talk about that and when you think about that, you think, what is it that makes a servant? I want to give you five things this morning. We've got 5 points this morning. Not three in a poem, not four in a poem, but five. No poem this morning, amen. But I've got 5 points for you. But it says, for this reason. Now, what that says is that there has to be something miraculous that has happened. You know, the verse before talks about, as we said last week, about, you know, we've exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So God has called you, God has spoken to you, God has performed a miracle. See, the first thing that to be an unbreakable person or to be an unbreakable people, the first thing that you need to have is there needs to have been, number one, a supernatural shift in your life. It's that thing that happens, whether you're on the athletic field or whether you're in your workplace or no matter where you are, there's a time when something in your spirit man changes. There's a time when something inside of you rises up and says, enough's enough. I'm fixing to put my boxing gloves on and I'm fixing to fight. There's something about someone that's sick and that's been given the bad report that says, you know what, enough's enough. And I'm fixing to fight. I'm going to live every day until I die. There's something about someone that knows that they may be martyred for what they believe in or what God's called them to do, but says, you know what? I'm going to keep on keeping on. I'm going to keep on fighting. But before all that can happen and you can carry out your purpose and you can live an unbreakable life, before all that can happen, there has to be a supernatural shift in your life, a supernatural shift. You see, you think of Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and you think of the Thessalonian believers. You know, Paul had to leave them early. He had to leave early, and he was concerned that they were floundering and that they weren't doing the things that God had called them to do or that he had exhorted for them to do. He was worried that they weren't going to live up to their full potential because he was no longer going to be there with them because he got ran out of town. Well, the key there is, it didn't matter if he was there or not, because a supernatural shift in the hearts of those faithful believers had taken place, amen? Something amazing had happened, a shift had happened in their soul and in their body and in their spirit. And friend, there's a time you can counsel it, you can memorize verses, you can go to church every Sunday, but friend, there comes a time in your life and in my life when something in our spirit man changes, when something rises, and it ain't going to be like the way it used to be. And you're not going to keep going back to that same sin pattern. You're not going to keep running with those same people. You're not going to keep working at that same place. There's something that happens in the spiritual realm that you say, friend, enough is enough. I am moving on with God. Come hell or high water, no matter what persecution I'll face, I'm moving on. And number one is a supernatural shift. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Hallelujah. We are to be under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Friend, you need to be able to move with God. When He says fight, it's time to fight. When He says turn the other cheek, it's time to turn the other cheek. When He says go, you got to go. When He says stop, you got to stop. When He says bow down and worship me, you better worship Him. And when He tells you that you need to forgive, you need to forgive. It's being under the unction of the Holy Spirit. So there was a foundation there in verse 13. It says, for this reason. There is a reason that we do what we do. There is a reason that we serve the way we do. There's a reason that we do things that the world doesn't do. And friend, that reason is the crucified Christ, friend. That's the reason that we do what we do. That's the reason that no matter what the people have predicted for us, no matter what outcome the world says we're going to have, that's the reason that we get up and that we overcome. That's the reason a David could defeat a Goliath. That's the reason that a young team led by a pastor could go and play a team that's 10 times bigger than them, and we could hang in there because we pray with our kids and we believe in our kids and we encourage our kids scripturally. Friend, let me tell you something. In life, you can listen to the report of what people say is your future and what your destiny is, or you can start to listen to what God's Word says about you, and you can start to live in it in full power and glory. That's the choice you have, and it's a two-way choice. One choice, you can be a coward. You can be a coward. And I don't want to raise my kid, and I don't want to pastor people, interim or whatever, that are cowards. Friend, I want to pastor someone that says, you know what? I'm fixing to fight this dude. I'm fixing to hit back, amen. I'm not taking this anymore. I want some tough people, amen. And Jesus wasn't no wimp. I'm tired of this wimp theology. Jesus Christ was not a wimp. And the apostles and the prophets and the disciples weren't wimps either. They gave their lives so that we could have church. It's time that the church begin to get their muscles flexed and begin to get low and get mean and go after the devil. So that sounds real good with you and your pipsqueak voice, Ronnie. But I'm going to fight on with it, amen. That's right, Shay. Supernatural shift for this reason. If God is going to shift you, you will feel it in your spirit. And once you decide to obey and receive the word of God, something happens. Look at this. Verse 13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of man, but as in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Now, first of all, you need to be open. Supernatural shift, the first thing, you got to be open to change. You got to be open to change. You got to be willing, if God changes the plans, to go with it. If God changes direction, you go with it. Don't let your pride get in the way to the point that you could miss God or a blessing that God wants to bestow upon you. If God speaks and God changes it, just go with it. I tell you, I know this is, I didn't mean for this to be NFL football day, but God just keeps bringing things to mind. I kind of watched the NFL too, and you know, Michael Vick got in the game a few weeks ago. I talked about it with you last week, and I've always pulled for Michael Vick because, you know, I know what he did was wrong, but my God, we got wife beaters and murderers, and we're putting someone in jail for killing dogs. I mean, it seems kind of ridiculous to me, but that's just Ronnie. That's not Bible, so y'all take it what you want. But Michael Vick, I've been kind of pulling for him. He's been mentored by Tony Dungy, and I'm hoping that God will do something. You know, I hope he'll have a comeback. You know, he's been ruled out. I hope he'll fight back. And so, you know, he comes in the game, and he just plays lights out. And then everybody's talking, well, I don't think that they should start him. And I'm like, man, were you watching the same game I was watching? Because the brother that was in front of him couldn't get 5 yards. And he's got 3 touchdowns about brought him back. Well, anyways, they've decided to start him. They've decided to start him. But you see, it took a lot for the coach, Andy Reid, to make that decision. Because, see, Andy Reid had traded his premier quarterback, Donovan McNabb, to another team. I mean, he'd give the whole franchise away in hopes that this Kevin Cobb would be the answer. He'd put his pride on the line and everything. And so if you're a leader and you've got millions of dollars invested somewhere, and it takes a lot for you to go, okay, I was wrong. I'm going to make a change. It's the same thing in your personal life and even in the lives of the church. As a pastor, I know there's sometimes where I'll be preaching and I'll be going, and then God will say, no, what, you're wrong. You know, or you're leading a people, and God says, no, this, I don't want you to go this direction. I want you to go this way. I'm like, Lord, but I've already said this. Lord, I've already said this. I've already spoke out. Lord says, I don't care. It's not about you. When I tell you to move, you go and you do what I say. And it's the same thing in your life. There are times where you're going to be so solid and firm in one direction, but the Holy Spirit may shift you and you'll have to move and go another direction. Be open to change, and obviously be open to Christ, okay? Because for this reason, we haven't ceased to give thanks. I mean, Christ is the reason. So if you're not open to forgiveness, if you're not open to Jesus Christ, friend, then no wonder you're frustrated. No wonder you haven't met your full potential. No wonder that you're breakable and you fall apart and you're not solid. It's because you don't know Christ, so you must be open to Christ. Next, you must be open to the co-laborers or companions that God sends your way. I mean, Paul, Silas, and Timothy were a crazy bunch of people. I mean, these people had to not just receive the Word of God, but they had to receive the Word of God from men of God. They had to receive the Word of God that came out of other people's mouth. There are times where somebody may look just absolutely crazy to you, and you may not feel comfortable whether it's a certain preacher or a certain style or a certain denomination, but God may want to use that person to touch you. I'm telling you, in most religious circles, someone like Damon Thompson, man, wouldn't fit in. That joker's got long hair. He's got tattoos from his wrist all the way up his shoulder. And he can't help but offend you. I mean, Dad said he's been invited back 3 times. I think we're the only church that's had him back over once, because he hits you right in the mouth. I mean, he offends you. He doesn't look like a preacher. He's not in a suit. But bless God, there's an anointing that flows out of him. There's a don't care attitude that he's going to preach what God tells him to preach. And he doesn't care if he loses popularity or fame. And there might be someone like that in your life that wants to speak into you. You've got to listen to him. Don't feel like you've got the corner of the market on God or the corner of the market on religion, because God will use something crazy to touch you. Crazy. I mean, something you never expected. I mean, he had people dance naked in the Bible. I mean, he used a jackass in the Bible. I mean, he'll use anybody. He will. Sorry, I said jackass. Y'all have to forgive me. I've been around Damon all week, you know. He said worse than that this week. I have to tell you about that later. Be open to challenge. Challenge. If God's going to shift you supernaturally, if you're going to experience a supernatural shift, you must be open to change and a conversion in Christ and companions. But be open to a challenge. You see, it was a challenge for the people of Thessalonica to go against their man-made religion, the religion that they'd been reared upon, and accept a Messiah and begin to serve and operate in different worlds than that what they were accustomed to. You must be open to a challenge. If God's going to shift your spirit or shift your lifestyle or shift where you are or what you're going to do, you've got to be open to a challenge. And there's 3 things God gave me. One, just like these believers did here in verse 14. It says there in verse 14, for you, well, hold on, we'll go back to verse 13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing. Part B of that, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you. It effectively works in you. 3 quick things. Receive, release, and renew. Okay? They were willing to receive the word of God spoken by men, by other people. They were willing to receive it. And then the next challenge there is once you've received it, you got to be willing to release it into other people. Release it into other people. If God has performed a miracle in your life, it's not for you to sit on that miracle. If God has got you through a rough trial or a rough valley, it's not for you just to rejoice, you and God alone, about what He's brought you through. You need to release that into other people. Other people need to know about it. They need to draw encouragement from it. They'll draw strength from it. They will. Say amen. Y'all are scaring me this morning. I know I sound funny. But listen, you need to encourage other people. God did not to bring you through that just so you could rejoice in it. He brought you through that so that you could bless someone else and bring someone else out. It's not just for us to sit on our own little miracle or our own little blessing. God's done it, so we'll speak into other people. That's why He's done it. Number one is a supernatural shift. We're to be open to a supernatural shift. Number two, God gives us, those of us that are called to serve and be servants, God gives us supernatural strength. Supernatural strength. You see, here their fearless leaders have gone, and then Timothy gives the report to Paul. But you can imagine how these people felt. Their leader was gone. The person that had kind of guided them and had been the hands and feet of Christ to them was not there any longer. So how did they respond to that? Well, I tell you, you get to a place in your life, once God has shifted your spirit and He's done something, you get to a place where you have to draw from His strength. You have to draw from God's strength. It's no longer about what you can do or what you know. It's about God's strength. And if God be for us, friend, who could be against us? It is about God's strength. And in verse 14 it says, "For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans." You see, supernatural strength will cause you to do three things. And you can write these down. Supernatural strength will cause you, number one, to submit. Cause you to submit. When you begin to draw off God's strength, it will cause you to submit to the authorities that God has placed over you. It will cause you to submit to the authority that God has placed over you. Because you see, these folks had to submit to the Apostle Paul when they were founded by him, but then they had to submit to the leaders that just in such a short time were raised up to be leaders. I mean, they didn't have all the experience. They were just trying to get through with attacks and fear of persecution. There are times, friend, when you have to just submit to the people that God has placed in authority over you. And that's what these people had to do. If they would have all been fighting amongst themselves, there would have been no future there. They had to make a decision with Paul gone to say, look, we're going to join together. We're going to let God ordain this and ordain the people and put the proper people in place, and we're going to respect what God is doing, and we're going to draw our strength from Him. But also, if God has given you strength, you won't mind to submit. It's actually a comfortable, to be under authority is a place of comfort. It really is. It's a place of comfort. It's a place where you know you have someone that gives an account over you, and you know, friend, that you know who to ask for if you need correction or you have questions, or even in the workplace. It's good. I mean, could you imagine going to work with no manager there? I mean, I'm sure it'd be nice. But I don't know if the businesses would last that long if you showed up at work and there was no manager there. And even if you're talking about retail or something like that, then there's district managers and regional managers and those types of things. Could you imagine if there's no structure? I mean, could you imagine McDonald's? I have a friend that is assistant manager of McDonald's from back home. He got laid off and just admired him. He got a job there and he's worked his way up. But it is a fiasco anyways. And with no leadership, no order, no authority there, I mean, you'd have hamburgers and Thousand Island slops everywhere. It'll cause you to submit. I just gave away the secret sauce, didn't I? Hallelujah. Supernatural shift. Number two, supernatural strength will cause you to submit. But the one that's not so popular is it'll cause you to suffer. It'll cause you to suffer. You know, these believers suffered persecution, death, to follow what God has called them to do. Yes, they received strength, and yes, they praised God and gave Him glory in their trials. But friend, if you're going to grow and gain the kingdom through God's strength, you're going to go through some trials. You're going to go through some pain. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be popular. It's not going to be easy. Nothing worth doing is ever easy. Nothing worth doing is ever easy. There's no mile marker at the end that says, look, you're retired, you're done in the kingdom of God. It's a lifelong walk and a journey that God, that the only way you can get through it and get to the end and finish well is to grow through the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. Suffer. Suffer. Acts 17:5 says, but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. 2 Peter 1:21 says, but though for the prophecy the word of God came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Friend, there's strength, but there's suffering. But if you'll rely on the Holy Ghost, those people were under attack. We're under attack. But the good news is we win. Isn't that good news? We win. We've got dominion over the enemy. We've got dominion over this world. I don't care if some rebellious person, liberal-minded person that doesn't believe in anything at your workplace thinks you're crazy because you listen to your praise music or because you read the Bible on lunch break. Friend, you keep reading that Bible, you keep listening to that music because they're missing something. They're miserable. They don't have a future in an eternal kingdom. They don't know the mysteries of Jesus. You do. And a friend, I want to encourage you this morning, keep on keeping on. Keep on fighting. Stay in the fight. Hallelujah. Supernatural submission. That was three. Supernatural submission. It says in verse 14, for you brethren became imitators. That means they had seen people doing what they're supposed to. They'd seen God do a work in other churches, in other groups of people. They had seen other people that were unbreakable, that were doing things together, and they imitated them. For you became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus, for you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, as they do not please God and are contrary to all men. Quickly, three things. We must investigate the promises of God. We must investigate God's promises. Their promises, many of them in this book, and God has promised you dominion over certain realms and certain areas. He's promised you dominion over your workplace, over your family. He's promised you purpose. And if you will begin to investigate God's word and begin to speak positive over ourselves, and that doesn't mean everything's going to go perfect or we're going to have $1 million, but friend, if we'll begin to speak the blessings of Christ over each other, God will do something amazing. Number two, we need to imitate God's people. You know, again, like I said, we don't have a corner market on everything. So if we see God doing something, even if we don't understand it, we may ought to pick up some things from it. Amen? I mean, bless God, if it'll get people saved, I'll try it. Anything. I mean, sometimes God will shift you and do something, but sometimes, you know, if God's moving, you can either avoid it or get in on it. And I don't know about you this morning, but I kind of want to get in on a move of God. If God's moving, I want in on it. Ignite God's people. Investigate God's promises. imitate God's people and ignite God's people. You know, once you're submitted to authority and you're gaining strength and God has shifted you, friend, it's time to set the world on fire. It's time to begin to share our faith. It's time to begin to operate in unity like the church ought to, like the unbreakable church. It's time to do what God has called us to do. Number four, the characteristic, fourth characteristic of a servant, of a supernatural servant, of an unbreakable servant, an unbreakable people, is they're going to go through its supernatural suffering. We've got a supernatural shift and supernatural strength, submission and suffering. We've got suffering. You know, if you are doing anything for God, you're going to go through some suffering. How many of you know that? How many of you could say, Pastor Ronnie, I've been through some stuff. I've been through some stuff that didn't make sense. I've been through some stuff that I couldn't understand why I had to go through it and why the other person I go to school with or go to work with or am related to, why they don't ever have to go through anything. How come I always have to be the one that goes through it? How come I always have to be the one that has to pick my head up? How come I've got this struggle? How come they don't have this struggle? You know, it's not about comparing ourselves with other people, but let me tell you this. If you're serving God or if His plans for you are rich and He wants to use you to attack the demonic world, friend, the devil's going to come at you full speed. Some of the times people that don't have no problems mean the devil know they ain't going to amount to much. I'm serious. If the devil knows they ain't got the intestinal fortitude to serve God or do anything for the kingdom, he ain't going to mess with them. He got them. They ain't going to do nothing. But you get on fire and you get to where you want to ignite people, man, God will mess you up. And you will make a difference. And that's why the enemy attacks you so hard. Because you are making a difference. If you're under attack, that means God's got your back. If you're under attack, that means God's got your back. It means that the devil is not happy about what you're doing. The devil's been mad at me for months. I've had 2 insurance claims. I'm sick as a dog today. We've got all kinds of stuff going on. But you know what? If I wasn't making a dent in his kingdom, he wouldn't be messing with me. That's what the devil does. He wants to get you down and out. But I know a God that said, Lazarus, come forth. Hallelujah. I know a God that got up on the third day. I know a God that when you're down, you ain't never out with Jesus, because even though he went down, he got out. And so I'm telling you this morning, don't let anybody tell you you're finished, you're done, you're no good, because you are. You are. Hallelujah. Finally, supernatural success. One that serves people is one that I count as successful. If somebody is willing to serve people with nothing in return, to me, there's no greater servant in the kingdom of God. I can't tell you the people God has allowed me to watch over the years, even some people that I've witnessed here. It is just amazing to me. You know, I've got a young man at my church who, years ago, he made a bad decision. He was married with children. He went to jail for a year or two. I visited him in jail while he was in jail. He got saved about 2 weeks before he went to jail, and I visited him, and he stayed saved in jail. You know, some people get jailhouse religion, amen. But he got saved before and repented before, and he was in jail for a year, year and a half, too, and he came out of jail, and he serves and he helps. And that guy will sit with me all day somewhere, and I've never had to ask him. It's like, he just wants to serve God. Anything, I mean, he paints for our rec league. He paints our football field. I mean, he drags our baseball fields. He comes to church. He does whatever. And you never have to, and you can tell, this guy's never going to get up in front of people, but this guy will serve people. This guy loves the Lord enough to come and do the dirty stuff that nobody wants to do. You don't even have to ask him. You don't have to pressure him. You don't have to guilt him. God has called him to serve. And friend, when I see people like that, it just brings tears to my eyes to know that there God has placed people on this earth that love Him so much that they will just serve people, that they love people so much they'll just serve people. Friend, that's the kind of love that God gives us. And that's the kind of love He requires of us, not just to stand and enjoy our own blessings, but to take the things He's put in us and give them to other people. I tell you, I admire people that are willing to serve, that are willing to be in the background, that don't care about being in front of anyone. They just want to serve God and serve people. I tell you, we wouldn't have an empty seat in any church in America if we got the people that truly met Jesus, that truly, like this, these verses say, received the word of God in truth, not as if they were from man, but received it in truth. If we really got after those types of people that had been forgiven much, and we filled our church up with those people, we wouldn't have to beg people to do anything. We'd have so many people that would be joy and praising the Lord because they've been forgiven and they've been given a second chance. Friend, you don't have to ask people that have really experienced a touch from God to serve. You got to tell them to stop serving. You got to say, man, go home. Take a nap. Crazy? Hallelujah. Spiritual and supernatural success. Once God has shifted you and you're drawn from His strength and you're submitted to the proper authority and you've been through some stuff, you've been through some trials, you'll get to a place of success. See, Paul's thanks God in the opening verse. We also thank God without ceasing. See, Paul thanked God for the Thessalonians. He thanked God for them because although he was worried about them, that they weren't going to make it and they weren't going to fulfill and they weren't going to keep on keeping on, he thanked God for them. Isn't that good? When you get to a place where you're trusting God, friend, you will give thanks for the blessings that He's given you. And you will thank God for what He's done because, see, Paul realized God did this. They're still serving, and I've gotten the report from Timothy, but God did it. God's doing this. It wasn't about him. He had done what God had asked him to do, and he'd gotten driven out. But now the church was standing on its own 2 feet, unbreakable and unchangeable, serving God and doing what it was called to do. Now, it wasn't perfect. They had their problems. But they were serving, and they were relying on the strength of God. And quickly, I want to close with the last verse, and we're done. Who killed both the Lord Jesus in verse 15 and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they do not please God and are contrary to all men. Verse 16, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so as always, to fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. And this speaks of those people that are coming against the move of God, those people in your life, those people in my life that are challenging what God is doing, that are throwing rocks at what we're doing, that aren't getting on board with what God's doing, those people that stand in opposition to the move of God. There's a wrath that comes upon them, friend, and we're not to hope for their death or hope for their time in hell. But let me tell you something, those people that the enemy's using that aren't repenting to God and that don't want to get right with God, that want to stand in front of a move of God, friend, they will give an account for that. And there's a wrath that comes upon those types of folks. There are three things that I want to close with. Paul had thanked God for the success of the Thessalonians. But why did they have success? And this is how you can have success too. Why were they still doing what Paul had instructed them to do? Well, one, they had escaped grief. They had learned because of this, and we'll get to it towards the end of this chapter, they had escaped grief. You know what? They had realized that their lost loved ones, that they would see them again. They had realized that they'd be raptured up. They had lived in constant grief, wondering what's going to happen, but they had escaped it. They had escaped it. Number two, they had escaped guilt. You see, guilt was the byproduct of Judaism. and they had escaped that guilt. They had escaped the grief of death, but then they had escaped the guilt of their sins and of not measuring it up by their dead works. They had escaped that guilt. Some of you this morning need to escape the guilt of feeling like you're inadequate or inferior or like you don't measure up. You measure up. If you know Jesus Christ, you measure up because He measures up. And finally, they had escaped God's wrath. And I tell you, I'm thankful this morning that I've escaped the wrath of God. Not by the skin of my teeth, amen. Because salvation's not getting out of hell by the skin of your teeth. It's fully and wholly embracing the Lord Jesus Christ, what He's done for you, that He died for you, that He rose again, the truth of His Word, and it's letting Him and His power and His strength shift you so that you can shift others and so that you can ignite other people. That is the power of the gospel. That is an unbreakable people. If you want to join and be connected with an unbreakable force of an unbreakable people, you need to be open to those things. And God will change you and move you and stir you to new depths and new levels. But I want to close today and ask if you've escaped wrath. You say, Pastor Ronnie, what's wrath? It means that because you mess up and you sin and you do stuff you shouldn't do, just like I've done stuff I shouldn't do, but you've never asked Jesus to forgive you. You've never asked Jesus to come into your heart. You've never made Him Lord of your life. You've been religious. You've went to church, but you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. Friend, if you don't do that, you will not escape wrath. You will spend an eternity in a burning hell. And not only that, friend, you will face damnation and trials here on this earth, and you will have nowhere to draw your strength from. So I want to encourage you this morning. If you say, Pastor Ronnie, I think I may be headed towards wrath. If that's you this morning, in just a moment, I want you to pray and I want you to ask Jesus Christ into your heart. I want you to put Him first in your life. I want you to make Him Lord of your life, because that is the only way, friend. If you want to be an unbreakable person, one that's not torn to and fro, but one that's steady and that's in service to Jesus, friend, first things first, you got to know Him. Bow your head and close your eyes this morning.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.